Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harker coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. I'm coming to you from the lighthouse, and I got to tell you, everything is wet around here. It's been a really, really rainy Tuesday. There's all kinds of water all over the top of the ice down here by the lake. There's water everywhere on my land that I have here. And then the roads today were so slippery and those kinds of things. So I'm just glad to be able to put together this broadcast today to share with you on Sunday morning. You're coming to me by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Coming to me, perhaps by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. And that time is 11 o'clock. Those of you that came by the way of Sermon Cloud, there's two ways to get to Sermon Cloud, and I thought I'd better share both of those with you. One of the ways is through my webpage, my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll down until you see where it says Sermon Cloud. Click on Sermon Cloud, and it'll take you right there. Those of you that use the computer, you can also go by the way of SermonCloud.com/PastorKenHarger. However you joined us, we're just so glad to have you being a part of our time together today. We're talking about staying connected and growing and being productive. In order to do that, we need to move from being an observer to become a participator. So we're going to talk about moving from observing, just looking, just a little bit interested, to being a participator. So we'll talk about that in just a few moments. A big thank you to Gay London, and she lives in Greenville. In memory and honor of her husband, Dave, she helps with the broadcast expenses. Marie Rivard, she also lives in Greenville. In memory of her husband, Fran, she helps with the financial broadcast expenses. And so does Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area and Court Warner, Freeman Toddle. Freeman Truck and Auto. Slow down, Kenny Adlin. Listen to what you're saying. East of building on M44, the north side of the road. Been a busy day, been a busy thing this week already so far, and got a couple funerals to take care of, so I think I maybe have myself in fast mode, and so we'll have to slow her down a little bit, and I'll be sharing with you. Thank you to Kay and King Singer for picking out our music for this morning. Give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, our weekend of worship, as we call it. Starts out Saturday night at Shiloh, 6:30. Sunday morning at Shiloh, 8:15. Then there's a Bible study class, a couple classes going on. Both pastors are teaching some classes, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:30. And in the Old Faith Baptist Church located on M57, Saturday night at 6 o'clock, we have a service at that campus as well. Sunday morning at the 10:30 service at Shiloh, we have a kids' church program. They're trying to get that kids' church program built up to about 100 kids. And if they get that done, I think one out of maybe all of the pastors except this pastor, Ken Harker, he's not going to go plunging in the water, but they're going to take a polar plunge whenever they get up to 100 in that that children's ministry at the 10:30 service. Well, we're going to head to Florida in about 2 more weeks, and we're going to enjoy some time for my wife and I to be have some time, visit my sister, my brother, and then go to the condo that we always rent over in Destin, Florida. So I'll be making some broadcasts this week yet to get ahead a little bit so I can make that journey and we can have that time. But we're just glad to be able to share with you this morning. And as we get started on our message of moving from being an observer to being a participator, I have a song that we want us to listen to, because after I get started in the message a little bit, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Zacchaeus that did just exactly this. He just wanted to get a peek at Jesus. He just wanted to see what he looks like. But then I got the whole lot more closer than that, much more closer than that, as he climbed in the sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus, and Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. We'll get into that story in just a moment. By the way, there's a couple people with a sled heading out to see if they can't catch a few fish for supper, and I hope they do. It's kind of wet and sloppy. I'm glad they got some good boots on, and we just trust they'll have a good time. Well, let's get started this morning with what we have to share with you, the message that God has laid upon my heart to become a part of your life and my life, that we might gain something from him that would be beneficial to each and every one of us. So here we go. We're going to talk about Zacchaeus. And we're going to listen to this message of song,
Zacchaeus,
and I'll be right back.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as our Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. We're going to your house today.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as our Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. We're going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as our Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus,
well, would you say that with me? Zacchaeus, you come down. That's the way we used to teach it to the kids in junior church and Sunday school, and now kids' church and a program that we have going. Just to share that little song with a little bit of excitement for this wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, he was just a short little fella. But we're going to take a look at his life and look at some of the things that God can teach us through his life and how he came to that point of moving from just being an observer, just wanting to get a peek at Jesus, and to the idea that Jesus was staying overnight with him for some supper and a good night's rest. Well, let's get started in that in just a moment, but let's have a word of prayer. I don't know what your life is like, dear people, listening audience. I know there's many times there's so many things going on in our life. There's been already a lot of death. I'm going to be doing my 7th funeral this year already. The month is still very young, and we just don't always know what all is going to take place. We just started a new year, and there's a lot of difficulty, been a lot of conversation about the president-elect and all this kind of stuff. And we just need to ask God this morning to help us set aside some of that stuff that we've been hearing and listening to. And sometimes it becomes kind of discouraging, and we just want to ask God to encourage our hearts today and give us the guidance and the direction that we need. Dear Father, we come to you. We come in that wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life upon that cross to provide for us the forgiveness of sin. But Father, as we come to you, we also want to thank you that he's helping us in our everyday life. He reminded us that when he went back to heaven, he was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which would bring things back to our mind and heart. And this next thing they would do would always be alongside of us, to be assistance. He dwells within us, but he's beside us as a partner in trying to live this Christian life. Dear Father, in the listening audience, there's many, I'm sure, that's going through some pretty deep times right now. Some pretty troubled water, some pretty deep weeds going through a time of discouragement. And I want to pray that you would encourage them today. Maybe sometimes what they need is a message that Zacchaeus needed to move from just observing these things to taking part in these things as a participator. So I pray, Father, that you would just be pleased to bless our listening audience. I want to pray for our country. this weekend, we've come to the point that it's no longer president-elect, it's President Trump. And dear Father, I just pray that you would just lead him and lead us as a nation. There's so much division, so much difficulty, so many things that's causing so many people to have concern and upset. And we just pray for special wisdom for all of those in place of leadership, that they might lead this great nation, America, not only in a good way, but even sometimes back to you and the things that you want for us as a nation, the things that we was founded upon. So be pleased to bless this message and this week in our lives and in the life of our nation, America. I pray in that wonderful name of Jesus once again. Amen. I'm so glad that I have God to go to in the difficulties of life, recognizing that it is through him that we have comfort and strength, and through him that we can have the encouragement that we need in order to stay on track and keep being involved in the lives of others as well as us growing as an individual. You know, this week as we think about moving from a spectator to a participator, there's a thought I'd like to share with you that it's given to us in the book of Matthew. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, and that's what it had come to that point, that now there was multitudes following him. A big crowd of people was always with Jesus. We need this information for the background of our message this morning. And that big crowd of people, but it says Jesus was moved with compassion as he saw that great crowd of people. Crowd of people, he says, when he saw those multitudes, they were weary and they were scattered. They are like sheep having no shepherd. That's a dangerous place for a sheep to be with no shepherd. Sheep need shepherding. And you and I need some shepherding. Then Jesus said this to his disciples. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Don't have enough workers involved in the kingdom ministry. Don't have enough workers helping to harvest the harvest that there is there. This is what he said to do them. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. And you know, I think that's what we have to do as a church. I think that's what we have to do is realize that we can't accomplish it all ourselves, but we need to pray that God will have people. That's why I like praying for the president and praying for all those in places of leadership. So often it's easy for them to use those positions and authority they have for their own personal gain. But we need to realize we need to be involved in the life of others. We need to have something what Jesus had, and that was a compassion. A compassion as he looked upon the people. He could tell they were weary. He could tell they were scattered. They didn't have any roots. They didn't know where they came from or where they were going. They were just existing. And Jesus is telling the disciples, this is a good time to be alive. Because as people, you can reach out and touch and be a sense of encouragement to them. But you disciples can't do it all by yourself neither. So what you need to be doing is praying that the Lord of harvest will send these workers into the field. And that's where we come to this idea of a worker is one that moves from a spectator to a participator. With this thought in mind, a spectator is just there to observe, not to participate in the busyness of the work. We know for a fact that Jesus came to do the work the Father had sent him to do. And Jesus was very busy all of his time on planet Earth. We just read about that. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was healing people's diseases. And he was doing all of this with compassion. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. and because he saw the need that there was there for that work to be done. Because today, as many, many times in our own individual lives, we realize that that's the way we feel. We're scattered. In the busyness of the life of the Lord Jesus, he still had time to pause every now and then and give the disciples a special lesson. He tells them the laborers are few. The harvest is great. This is a beautiful time to be alive. There's much to do. The job of each Christian is to roll up our sleeves and dig in and be a help to those that are so much different, so much hurt, so much difficulty. In my Facebook page on Sunday, I shared a picture that I found of some guys playing soccer. But on the sideline, there was four of them just sitting there and watching. Do you want to participate or do you want to just observe? That's what we're talking about this morning. Trying to get us to move from one place that we just don't sit and watch. But we become involved. We become involved in the work that there is to do. And that work is to keep us busy at ourselves, but it'll cause us to grow. Because we're talking about staying connected. We're talking about growing. We're talking about being productive. And if we want to do that, you're not going to do that by just observing. You can only soak in so much. Pretty soon it's time to put some legs and hands to the things that we know. So often in God's word, he spoke about darkness and he spoke about light. And Jesus, on his Sermon on the Mount that he gave to us in the book of Matthew chapter 5, he said we have to be participating in spreading the light. I love the way Jesus says it. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. You're going to be able to see the city because it's on a hilltop. Going to Florida, one of the times when we stopped in one of the big cities there along the way on I-65, I was able to find a coupon and got a motel where we could overlook the whole city of Birmingham. And I got to tell you, that was quite a sight from that window at nighttime to see all of that there was. Like a city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it in a bushel or puts it underneath something that causes it to snuff out its light. Instead, a lamp or a candle is placed on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for those to see. If you're going to do good deeds, that means you're not just observing, but you're participating. And however you participate, let your light shine out that everyone will see. You know what he says they'll begin to do? They'll begin to praise God. They'll begin to praise their Heavenly Father. One other time, Jesus said, God has called each believer to be a light in the dark world. And you and I'd have to agree today, the world gets pretty dark sometimes. First, he tells us, you are the light of the world, and the light cannot be hid. But then he gives light to everyone in the house. And I love it in the Bible when God says, uses this phrase, in the same way. Just like light reaches out to those that are all, anybody that's in the room. One light, giving light to all of them. In the same way, just like that. Let your light shine and let your good deeds be seen as you're busy doing something for the kingdom of God, for all to see. It'll point their attention to God. Oh, it may point your attention to you as sometimes now and then, just the fact of how you're willing to do that. But then in the end result is you're willing to do that because God's living in your life. The light must shine to the ends of the earth. Not just when you are in church building, not just when you're in your little Bible study group, But that light needs to shine out to all of those walking in darkness. That light needs to shine out. And when we become a participator, God is honored because of the people. It will help to come to an understanding of faith in Jesus. And then God's message, the gospel, is being spread throughout all the different ways and beyond your capability physically. And our lives become filled with joy because we're sensing the presence of God as we're working for Him. I always say, and I believe it's true, I always say that you and I need to know that there's more joy in what you do than those receive that you do it for. It's just so good. So many times I felt as I reached out to someone, I wanted to help them. But in turn found out as I reached out to help them, I myself was helped. There's two phrases that I like. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And in this day and age, we need the next phrase. The next phrase is simply this. Your light won't shine any brighter by blowing out somebody else's candle. Sometimes we need to make sure that our light is shining as brightly as it can, and let others shine their light as well. You know, being 81, almost 82, I can remember kerosene lamps at home. And I can remember every now and then they'd get just a little bit darkness inside a little glass thing that went over it. I remember my mom so very carefully cleaning it because it was just real thin glass. And I remember when she would clean them, how much brighter the light was. We need to make sure we're sending a bright light. We need to make sure we're doing something that's going to help move us from being just an observer to saying, I want to take part. You know, one of the things that I've liked about the Bible is I get to know some people I've never met. And this week I'm introducing to you my friend Zacchaeus. He's a wee little man. That means he's a short man. I'm so glad in God's word that we have glimpses of people who lived when Jesus was doing his ministry here on planet Earth. That allows me to see some of the things that people had in their minds and hearts, their needs that they had in Jesus' day. But also it gives me an opportunity to see how Jesus ministered to them. One such person is this tax collector we're going to talk about, Zacchaeus, who really just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to be a spectator. He wanted to see what he looked like. Evidently, he'd heard some things about him, about his teaching, about his preaching, about his healing, about things that he was saying to the people. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. You got to get this into your mind and heart. He was just passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. He was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Being a short man, he could not because there was always a big crowd around Jesus, and we've already talked about that. So he ran ahead of the path that was going to lead out of Jericho. He's just passing through. And he climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see him, since he knew that was the only road out of town. He's going to be able to see Jesus. We learn some things about this man, Zacchaeus. His work was that of being a chief tax collector. Now, the difference between being a tax collector and being a chief tax collector is, as a tax collector, you got paid so much money. But then there was a chief that was over 15, 20, maybe 40, 50. I don't know how many was over. And he got a portion of what each tax collector collected. So he had, like, you know, 30, 40 people working for him. And so he was very wealthy. But he was also very short in stature. This hindered him from seeing Jesus. He probably tried a few times, but there was always a crowd around him. What I love about this man, Zacchaeus, he was not one to give up. He's tall in the idea that he wasn't going to quit. He knew the direction Jesus was going to travel. So he ran on ahead and he found himself a sycamore tree, which has its branches quite close to the ground. And he climbed up into that tree. And we need to let that picture sink into our minds. There he is, sitting in that tree, waiting for Jesus to come down that path. And he's got it all set up. I'm going to get a chance to see him. Something to think about in this passage is Jesus was just passing through. Zacchaeus had a desire to just get a look at the teacher. He felt as though he was handicapped in that he was so short, so he figured out a way to make himself taller. He figured out a way that Jesus would pass right underneath the tree where he was. Two key thoughts for today. It is a normal response for us as human beings to want to observe from a distance, not to get our hands dirty, not to do what I said a few moments ago, to roll up our sleeves and say, let's get to work on this. I must come to the place in my individual life where I look for ways to check it out for myself. I give Zacchaeus credit for that. He was checking Jesus out for himself. There's a Bible verse that I've always liked when sometimes people tell me that they're having a difficult time believing in Jesus and so on. I said, you know what the Old Testament says? Taste and see the Lord, he is good. He is good. The Lord, he is good. We need to realize that we need to place ourselves in such a position that we can get a glimpse of this one Jesus as well. Well, moving on in the story, Jesus invited Zacchaeus to be a participator. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't looking for that to happen. Let me share with you from the scripture how it begins to take place, how it begins to unwind. To stay connected and grow and be productive, we must move from being an observer to being a participator. Listen to what it says in Luke 19. When Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was in the tree, he looked up at the tree and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house tonight. Say it with me. Zacchaeus, come down. The invitation is come. The invitation that God wants to give to you and the invitation that God wants to give to me is to come to him. It's going to be a good invitation. I want to talk about that in just a few moments. But before we do, I have another song I'd like to have us listen to. And this song is simply saying what Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, but what he's also saying to you and I. He's saying, come, come, come to me. I want to give you rest. Come, let me share with you in your life. Come, take part with me in what I do. Let's listen in.
Come to me, all you labor, and I will give. My yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am the way and the truth, and if you love me and keep my word, I'll make my home in you. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's nothing and no one else to believe. I stand at the door you're hiding.
What Jesus said that he wanted to do for each one of us. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need to realize that God is reaching out to each one of us. As we come to this portion of Scripture where God gives an invitation to this little short guy called Zacchaeus. Remember I told you when I said he's climbed up in that tree to put that into your mind and keep it there a moment? I'd like to have us think about that now for a few moments. Zacchaeus said he ran on ahead. He got far enough ahead so he knew he had time to climb up the sycamore tree. I really admire the way he figured out things. This is what I can do. I'll be able to see him. So he ran on ahead. And there we see him. I had a nice picture of a little short feller climbing up in a tree and sitting there. And I believe Zacchaeus was sitting there with anticipation. Man, I've waited a long time to do this. Been wanting to see Jesus for quite a while. I've heard quite a few things about him. And all of a sudden, as Zacchaeus is sitting in that tree, looking down the path from the direction that Jesus will be coming from, he could see the crowd of people. Because it was a big crowd of people moving across that territory. The Bible says multitudes. When it speaks of multitudes, it talks about, you know, one time he fed 5,000, one time he fed 4,000. When he fed the 5,000, that was besides the women and the children. could have been 8, 9, 10,000 people. And there's this crowd of people walking along behind him. And I'm sure every now and then Jesus stopped and turned around and teach a little bit. He was always teaching. They always referred to him as teacher. He'd be listening to the people and their questions they might have. And Zacchaeus, all of a sudden, he can see him. I think when he got his first glimpse of that crowd of people and Jesus leading the way, I think old Zacchaeus' heart started going kaboom, kaboom. Here he comes. Here he comes. Then all of a sudden he's coming a little closer. I can see him a little clearer now. And I think the old heart's going kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And all of a sudden he's much closer. Now I can see his facial features and all the rest of it. And man, there is a big, huge crowd following him. And I think by now his heart was skipping some beats. Boom, 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 boom. It's really going. And all of a sudden, Jesus is right underneath Zacchaeus, the tree he is sitting in. And then something that Zacchaeus did not count on, Jesus stopped underneath that tree. And by now, I think the sweat is running off of Zacchaeus. I think his heart, he can actually hear it in his ears. It's making so much noise. And then it gets a little bit even greater than that as Jesus looks up into the fig tree. And the eyes of Jesus catches the eyes of Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden, Jesus' mouth begins to open and he says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I've got to stay at your house tonight. Oh my goodness, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the excitement in his life? Can you imagine that he's about ready to come down quickly because I think he's about ready to faint and fall out of the tree? This is something totally different than he ever expected to see. He just wanted a glimpse of Jesus. By the way, Jesus knows Zacchaeus' name. I got to tell you, folks, Jesus knows your name. You're a believer in him. Jesus knows your voice. My sheep follow me, they said, Jesus said, and they know me, and I know them. They know my voice, and he knows our voice. What a special thing. Well, it didn't tell us any indication how fast Zacchaeus came down from that tree, but I think he's down from the tree. And Zacchaeus is standing in front of Jesus, and then that word echoes back into his head. I must stay in your house tonight. You know, that can really upset a lot of us as people. It can upset us to the point we'd have to say, is my house good enough for Jesus to come in? Is it clean? Do I have any bad things out that I shouldn't have out? Jesus is coming to my house today. I don't know what all went through the body of Zacchaeus. He's coming to my house? I just wanted to get a glimpse of him. I believe this man's heart must have almost stopped when Jesus said, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to do what many of us want to do. We want to observe from a distance. But all of a sudden with Zacchaeus, it's come sometimes what they talk about on the TV when it says it's a up-close and personal relationship. All of a sudden, that's where it is with Zacchaeus. It's up-close and it's personal. It's Jesus and Zacchaeus. It's not Jesus and Zacchaeus just for a glimpse. It's going to be Jesus and Zacchaeus together to spend an evening. As a result, what started out just to be one that wanted to observe became a very personal invitation to move from being an observer to being a participator. And dear people, I got to tell you this because it's true. God is the God of invitation. God is always saying to each one of us individually by name, if you would just put your name in there, Zacchaeus, I've got a message just for you. You come down from that tree. I'm staying at your house tonight. You and I need to know that we need to do what Zacchaeus did. He responded in obedience to Jesus. And this invitation has become a part of the process to help us to move from being an observer to being a participator. On Wednesday in my Facebook devotion that I share each morning, if you haven't got me yet on Facebook, I'll give you a personal invitation to. If you're a Facebook person, when you got your Facebook open, is all you got to do is go to that search bar up in the top in the left-hand corner, type in Pastor Ken Harger, and it'll take you to my Facebook page. Now, you got to do something when you get there. You see what I've written for that day, then you take and like that. Or you can love it if yours lets you do that. You just like it. And if you like it, then, and every now and then, make sure you like it. It'll keep coming to your house. I shared the outstretched hand of Jesus saying to you and I, come to me, all you that are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's God's invitation on this 22nd day of January, the year 2017. The year is moving by swiftly, but God's invitation is, come to me, my child, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. I love it when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I must stay in your house. You see, I've been taught by the scripture that my body is the house that I live in. It's a temple. It's a dwelling place of God, and God wants to live inside of me. And God wants to live inside of you. So he gives us an invitation. Don't just stand from a distance and observe. Move up close and accept what I have, what I want to offer to you, what I want to give to you. I think we need to understand, remember, the invitation is open to us today. And especially if you feel loaded down. And especially if you've just been kind of thinking about these things of God, but you have been looking at it from a distance. God's saying to you this morning, I've given you a personal invitation to come and check it out. I think we need to check it out for ourselves. When we have been invited, we become inviters to others. I know that God has invited me to check it out. And I did. And you know, all of us are short in stature some way. All of us have handicaps some way. I love a verse in the book of Hebrews that says, we don't have a high priest in Jesus that isn't touched with our handicaps. He knows about my handicaps and your handicaps. But he tells us, I want to give you a source of strength. I want to strengthen you. And God's strength is good strength for each one of us to have. You know what Zacchaeus did that day? He moved from the stands into the playing field. You know, when you watch a football game, you've seen this before. Let's say that all together there may be down on the field 100, 200 people involved in the game, one way or another. But you know something? 80,000 people in the stands, observing, watching. They're not the one that's in the field. They're in the stands. And we need to know that this one, Zacchaeus, moved that day out of the stands onto the field. Now, I got to tell you right up front the rest of the story. everybody wasn't excited about that. Some of the Pharisees and other religious leaders said, "This can't be the Son of God. Doesn't he know who Zacchaeus is? Doesn't he know how much Zacchaeus has cheated? Don't he know that Zacchaeus is taking advantage of people?" And you know, Zacchaeus says, "Lord, if I've taken anything from anybody wrongfully, I'll pay him back fourfold." That was an Old Testament law. If you stole $10, you had to pay back four times that. Kept people from stealing. Pay back fourfold. "And I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor." Zacchaeus is ready to have a change in his life. And I got to be upfront and honest with you, that's what happens when we move from being a spectator to the playing field. We want to get involved. We want to become a part of what is happening. It caused a lot of muttering amongst the people. "Jesus is going to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Of all the homes there is in this neighborhood, of all the homes there is of good people that he could stay with, he's going to stay with that tax collector." They looked down upon those tax collectors. You see, folks, if you're going to move to the playing field, it'll cost you a price. It'll cost you something. And Zacchaeus is already ready to pay that price. But I got to remind you, once you get involved in the game, you're going to have a lot of encouragement from Coach Jesus. When you're a participator, Jesus is going to get involved in your life like you've never had Jesus involved in your life before. And you know, when Jesus said earlier on that the harvest is great, there's so much to be done, and Jesus was doing as much as he could, he knew the disciples couldn't do it all. You learn that you've been recruited by God to become involved. He's recruited you. What Jesus is doing is recruiting Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus knows if Zacchaeus knows how to do what he has done in the physical world through money and all that kind of thing, Jesus knew Zacchaeus could be a good tool in the spiritual world. And you know what, folks? It seems as though God always likes to use whatever the experiences of your life is, whatever you've gone through in life as an individual, God just desires to use that in your life to reach out to others. That's what he likes to do. And we need to know that Jesus was fulfilling his purpose that day when he invited Zacchaeus to come down to the out of the tree and tell him, "I'm going to your house today." When in fact he encouraged Zacchaeus to move from the being a spectator in the bleachers to the playing field, from being an observer to being a participator. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus didn't have the right motivation and purpose for his life. Oh, he was rich. It says he's wealthy. And when they say it's wealthy in the biblical times, they had a lot. But that lot wasn't only going to help Zacchaeus. God wanted to see if Zacchaeus is willing to share that. And I love it that Zacchaeus showed his willingness to share that immediately when he said, "Half that I have, I'll give to the poor." You know, Jesus is teaching that whole crowd. But it doesn't tell us that many, many flocked and said, I want to move from being a spectator to being a participator. You know what? Some of them just found fault. Sometimes it takes a while for us to learn in our individual life. God don't want us just to sit in the bleachers. God wants us to get involved. And you know something? That's what you're hearing today. That's what you hear from the radio stations that we're on. They're trying to help people. They're trying to reach out and be a support to their community and to people within the community. And God is saying that to each one of us. It is time now for you to consider, because Zacchaeus is the challenge to your life. I'm glad the story of Zacchaeus is there. And the things that he had to face was the very things that God's going to be able to use to bring him out of the stands and onto the playing field. And then he won't be the one cheering any longer. He will be the one cheered. He will be the one that is causing others. Remember what I said about the light earlier in the message? The light's supposed to shine so everybody can see. And the good deeds that Zacchaeus did in just that few minutes in the life of Jesus with him, he said, half that I have, I'll give to the poor. Can't you just imagine the poor lining up to receive it? But he said, what I have, I'm going to pass on to others. What I have, I'm going to help other people with. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to be a part of. For then and only then can we show that we are light. And he'll praise our Father for what has happened. Oh, again, I'll say it one more time and then we're going to listen to a song. I think it comes to the point of believing and understanding that it will not always be accepted by every person when changes begin to take place in your life. I need to say a thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, to Marie Rivard, to Gay London, to Court Warner. Thank you so much for your financial support. Thank you, listening audience, for letting me share with you. I just love to share the Word of God. I just love to share the way Jesus works in people's lives. And I'm sharing that because of two reasons. Number one, I know how much difference it's made in my life. And I want you to know the difference that can make in your life. I got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is talking about, I'd rather be saved than anything else. And Zacchaeus has come to that place to understand that. Here we go. This is challenging to you this week. To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye. With the choice, right, wrong, or which, he could keep what he collected, but he knew someday he'd pay. So he chose to follow Jesus, said, I'll give it all away. Give it all away. I'd rather be saved than anything I know. I'd rather be washed in the blood of Calvary's flow. Than to have my name written all over this world, and all that it has to hold. I'd rather be saved than anything I know. Now you may be successful, living in your worldly way, admired by those who live close by. They think you've got it made. Still you feel like old Zacchaeus with an emptiness inside. If you choose to follow Jesus, every need he will supply. I'd rather be saved than anything I know. I'd rather be washed in the blood of Calvary.